50 new UFO videos have just been released by the United States government. Not one, not two, 50. And alongside those videos, we've got NASA astronaut audio, new documents, and one account involving orange orbs, military aircraft, multiple witnesses, and a senior US intelligence officer. Now, let's be clear, this is not the moment to declare every one of these clips is world-changing. Far from it. Much of this is probably explainable. Some of it may not be. But this second release already feels a little bit different from the first. This time, the general public aren't just reading about UFOs. They're watching them. So, what's actually been released? What stands out? What should we be cautious about? And two drops in, is this starting to look like disclosure? Let's get into it. Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and what a crazy 24 to 48 hours it's been, maybe longer depending on when you're listening to this. But release 2.0 of the war.gov UFO site has dropped, and this time we got 50 videos, some documents, some audio, and a whole lot of reaction. Now, I'm going to cover quite a bit in this show. I'm going to cover what some of the videos show, some of the audio that's interesting, and one of the most interesting files. If you're watching this on YouTube, please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment. That really makes a huge difference. But you're going to see a video playing of what I consider the most interesting or chat-worthy videos anyway. I'll show some clips, and if you're on the audio, you won't miss out too much because I'll make sure anything is also explained for you. I'm going to finish off with some of your thoughts and opinions later on too, because that is really important. But let's get into what actually dropped. So this is release 2.0. of the UFO UAP release from the US government. Like I said, it's over at war.gov/UFO. The main focus this time is the videos. Last time in the first release, there was a lot of files, a handful of videos, but a lot of files to dig through. This time it's flipped. There are 50 new clips have appeared, not all brand new. A couple of them we've seen in various guises, largely through Jeremy Corbell on Weaponized and his latest documentary, Sleeping Dog. But there is a lot of new content on there too. Some of it is definitely explainable. Some of it is definitely interesting. Now, there are also some clips from NASA astronauts. Some of the audio on them is incredibly poor, but one clip in particular, which is pretty good, I'm going to play for you during this show. And again, it's not smoking gun. This is not disclosure, but it's an interesting clip to have included in this release. And I'm sure there is more out there too. Some NASA footage would be nice. There's also a small batch of documents and files, and I'm going to read you one of those, which is a two-page release, which is pretty interesting, quite an interesting story along with it. And I wonder, I'm going to ask you quite a lot, if you're on YouTube or you're listening on audio, please leave a comment or get in touch with me and let me know how you feel, release one to release two, what the reaction's been. So many of you have got in touch with me around the world to tell me how little engagement there perhaps was outside of the United States on release one. And I wonder what release two has been like for you. I know here in the UK, there hasn't been the same interest. Full disclosure, folks, no pun intended. Well, maybe there was. I was asked today, I'm recording this on Saturday, to do a short video piece, a short audio piece, for the BBC Worldwide Service, World Service. And that was going to be audio only. It was literally a couple of minutes. And within an hour, they cancelled the segment, deciding they no longer needed it and the news agenda had changed. That's how quickly and that this story can disappear from the news. It disappeared before it even hit the headlines, really, in the UK. So I'm curious to know, outside of the United States particularly, how you feel the coverage has been this time. Let's be fair, you see the videos playing over my shoulder. Videos land differently to PDFs. The general public, I'm going to put a number on this, 99% of the general public, at least, are not trawling through files that are being released. They want to see videos. They don't even want to go onto a website and click on videos. They want to see TikTok reels, Instagram reels, on the X feed, on YouTube. They want to see the videos presented to them. They don't even really want the context. They want to see something undeniable. And again, I think we've been robbed of that in this, which is really interesting. And the key question is why that lack of context around the videos. Something that ties into it, before I get to discussing the videos in a little bit more detail, I want to give a bit of wider context. So you may have seen in the news in the last 24 hours, the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, has resigned. All kinds of conspiracies running rampant. But to keep facts here, keep things factual, she has said in her resignation letter, unfortunately, her husband has been diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer, and that's why she's having to step away from duties. I've seen all sorts, I don't follow her position that closely, but I've seen all sorts of comments that she was potentially going to be removed from office in the coming months or voted out, however that would work. I don't know. But what we do know is the intelligence community right now is under pressure. That's a big move. And she was at the forefront of much of this transparency push. And she has been highlighted by folks like Anna Paulina Luna as being someone who's done a lot of good in terms of transparency. That, of course, is always subjective. But alongside this resignation, you may have seen on multiple sites, including Weaponized, there was a clip of a former CIA employee. John, I may be wrong, actually. He may still be CIA. But a CIA employee, John Erdman, testifying under oath in Congress. Now, Corbell frames this as the cover-up testified against itself. Now, he claims that, and I'm going to play the clip for you, that there are elements within the CIA interfering with, monitoring, or trying to shape the UAP whistleblower process connected to the ODNI and Tulsi Gabbard's Directors Initiative Group, or DIG as it's called. He connects this to Congress, to Luna, Burleson, Burchett. He says whistleblowers were being intimidated or discouraged. And the point made in the clip you'll hear is that the CIA essentially have been found or being reported by its own people being whistleblown on. They are spying and wiretapping their own US citizens, their own departments, their own whistleblowers. That's a big deal. The CIA is not supposed to be used anything like that against its own people on its own soil. Folks, you're listening to this, we know they do. And that's, but again, it's being shown here. So it just shows me, folks, that right now, this whole situation for the intelligence community is bigger than just UFOs and UAP. It's a complete mess. There is going to be congressional pressure. There's going to be a new appointment at the ODNI. The second file release does not feel neat. It does not feel clean. Things are really, really contested right now, very political. And I don't see that being much of a positive, but I don't see it being a huge negative either. I think there's a famously, you know, in chaos there is opportunity, but it's just who seizes that opportunity. Let me just play you that clip of here's a CIA employee telling you what the CIA is doing, and it is related to UAP too.
I am a career CIA operations officer, and as you mentioned, I was on joint duty assignment at the Office of Director National Intelligence, Directors Initiatives Group, or the DIG, between March 2025 and April 2026. I was responsible for leading the DIG's investigation into COVID origins, anomalous health incidents, and unidentified anomalous phenomena. I'm here today to discuss the COVID cover-up, the national security implications associated with the DIG's investigative findings, and CIA refusal to comply with lawful oversight, as well as how we remedy these problems. The CIA illegally monitored the computer and phone usage of DIG personnel, their investigations, and contact with whistleblowers. These were Americans being spied upon illegally while executing duties directed by the president and under the authority of the Director of National Intelligence. You must be willing to pull the purse strings and, if necessary, convene another church committee. The results of our investigation would have been impossible without whistleblowers willing to come forward. They are indispensable agents for reform.
So again, we have to separate what is directly said from what's being alleged around this clip. But either way, it does add to the sense that the UAP issue is causing or contributing to the strain behind the scenes, folks. I think that's really, really interesting. So some initial thoughts on the videos themselves. Again, like I say, they're playing over my shoulder, and I'll put some of the bigger ones on the screen too. Now, many folks online have said some of the clips are more interesting than others. I'll tell you what I done first. I took the videos on the download all option from the site, and there was 50 of them, like I say. I started scrolling through them. Some videos are like 15 seconds, others are 17 minutes. I didn't watch the video in its entirety, but what I would do is click on it, open on iMovie, and scrub through the video, because much of it would be potentially a dot over the ocean, and it's maybe 10 minutes of just that. So it's difficult to see anything really interesting outside of that across the video. But I made sure to mark it whether I thought the video was good, meh, okay, or unsure, just to give myself a rough idea. I've put some clips of the more interesting or at least noteworthy videos on the screen, and I'll do that. It's really important, and we'll get to some of the folks like Tim Burchett, Eric Burleson, David Grush. Now, I was on the Doomer Friday show last night with Clint Weldon and Pavel, and comments are always interesting, and a few folks were like, oh, Andy's with the skeptics and debunkers, and that is definitely not the case. But if you follow this topic, in the last couple of weeks, I've reported on this, as have many others. David Grush himself said he knew what was coming in this drop. He had seen all of these clips, and it wasn't particularly interesting. Eric Burleson and Tim Burchett, congressman, in the last couple of days before the drops and since have said the drop is the deep state doing what it does best. They are not showing you the stuff that they want the public to see. A lot of this is explainable. A lot of this is identifiable objects, birds, balloons, and more. That's not to say necessarily all of it is. I think especially one particular clip, the instantaneous acceleration video, has caught people's imagination. But what is important here is we lack the tools to properly analyse a lot of these videos. The metadata, location, dates, platform, sensor types, witness context, chain of custody, most of that is gone, scrubbed, missing. Some of the videos, folks, are three quarters of the screen. It's black boxes and rectangles all round, which makes it really difficult to discern anything when there's just a dot on the screen. So even though those could be a legitimate alien spaceship or NHI craft, you can't say that because it's just a dot on the screen. And that's so frustrating. I think the mistake here would be to treat every video as proof of something exotic. I don't do that in this topic. If you listen to me, if you watch me on any regular basis, I would rather not look stupid or ignorant by claiming everything's a UFO. And by UFO, I mean alien or non-human. But the other mistake is to dismiss the entire release because it might turn out to be something explainable. I think there are definitely some videos here. For example, there's a clear balloon shootdown happening in one of the videos. You can see the string attached to the balloon, and I'm just looking at it on my left-hand side now. People are saying, oh, it's a jellyfish UFO, it's a balloon-shaped UFO. Sometimes a spade is a spade, and right now, without any other information, that's a balloon, likely a spy balloon, being shot down, like happened back a couple of years ago. One of the other videos labelled like Anamorphous, it was in Jeremy Corbell's Sleeping Dog documentary towards the end, looks like a kind of figure changing or morphing, and it does look rather humanoid. But a lot of folks, there's an ex-community note, and I'm not saying those are should be taken for gospel, that actually says it's a stormtrooper balloon above Lake Huron, I believe, taken from 2015 or 2019 from Star Wars. I could see it being some kind of balloon, truly, because just the weird shape of it, it's so difficult again without any of the metadata. So stuff like that looks like it could be so easily debunkable. And again, folks, this isn't just me giving you my opinion. I'm also taking into account David Grush has seen these 50 videos and went, I don't think there's much interesting amongst it. Burleson and Burchett have both said the same thing. So I'm just saying I've got more of a cautious eye on this drop than maybe I would have had previously. There are, however, some more interesting videos, and I think one particular is this. Now, this does come with a caption on the site that says, imagery likely derived from an infrared sensor aboard a US military platform operating within the United States Central Command Area of Responsibility in 2021. A user uploaded this video to a classified network in June 2024. That's all we have. However, for those on audio, what you're going to see, or what you're going to see if you see the video, check it out on YouTube. Oh, on that, folks, I did post just the clips that are playing in a video on YouTube. It's like 4 minutes long, and I've cut them right down for what I think are some of the more interesting videos, or at least, like I say, noteworthy videos. Check that out. I think it's worth having a look at if you've not seen them yet. But this video shows a shape, perhaps saucer, disky, kind of roundish, and it's the typical flare looking video, black and white, and it's being locked onto. But what does happen then is, and I believe Jeremy Corbell in the latest Weaponized, folks, I've just listened to that this afternoon, said that in the video it's locked on with a weapon system. It moves slightly to the left and then shoots off at incredible speed to the right hand side, and it does look like it shoots off incredibly fast. Now, there could be any number of explanations for that. Taking this video at face value, I would say it's one of, if not the best videos in this release. So I'd love to know your thoughts on that. This is the one that I wish people were paying more attention to on the mainstream news, not the video shootdown, because the shootdown's spectacular because it's a shootdown, but people are labelling it UFO. And if you look through public comments, and the public really have to be considered in this drop, your average Joe is going, this is a balloon. And then they're not even probably watching most of the other videos, folks. So stuff like the instantaneous acceleration for me is really important, because it's one of those observables that is particularly unique. There's also another couple of videos of orbs or spheres flying over mountainous terrain. I can't see the metadata for it. I'm going to presume it's somewhere like Iraq or Afghanistan a couple of years back, but it does look like a sphere type object shifting, and it's being filmed from above, and you can see just at the speed the terrain underneath is moving past that it is going at an incredible rate of speed. Really interesting, pretty clear video too, about the best quality we have. And then also we do have the UFO going through the clouds. Now, this is one that was released by Corbell and Knapp last year that was in the news, and it looks, we're told, it's an object being shot from above. So the camera's looking down on it, looking down at the clouds, and you can see what appears to be a large saucer or circular object moving through the clouds in different directions. We're told it was hiding in amongst the clouds, and we've heard about this from other folks, the idea that these objects may hide literally in the clouds out of our view. Now, other folks have tried to debunk this, saying it looks like the moon or the sun during an eclipse and a reflection. Again, without metadata for this, it's so difficult to make that distinction. But I'd love to know, folks, on that, your thoughts. Really would appreciate it, and I hope some of those videos have been interesting. Just my opinion. I would love every one of these 50 to be genuinely anomalous. I just don't see it. But there are some interesting clips. Just again to reiterate, be wary. Burchett, Burleson, Grush have all said the same thing, that these are deliberately being messed with. We're getting clutter. We're getting noise. This is not the interesting stuff that they are seeing. The stuff that is going to change people's minds, that is what we need to keep the pressure up and the pressure on to get released, because that can be the game-changing stuff. There is also a very interesting NASA clip, and I'm not too sure again of the provenance of this one. It doesn't seem to be labelled on the website. You just have to download the audio file, and there's not much more information on it other than a lot of random numbers. But this is one of the more interesting parts of the release, and this is a clip where astronauts appear to be struggling to describe bright objects they are seeing out of their window. And again, to make this clear, this does not automatically mean alien or NHI, but it's interesting because trained astronauts seem to be reporting something very unusual in real time, including the speed of the objects they're seeing. Let me play the clip and I'll come back to you in just a minute.
I have the more of the white particles in view below the capsule. They appear to be traveling exactly my speed. There is one drifting off. It's going faster than I am, as a matter of fact.
Roger, understand.
I haven't seen the great numbers of these particles, but I've seen a few of them. Their motion is random. They look exactly like snowflakes to me.
Roger, have you tried return?
Negative. Let me get within scanner limits first.
Say it.
I must adjust my attitude to within scanner limits first.
Roger.
particles. They definitely look like snowflakes this time.
Roger, I understand your particles look like definite snowflakes.
However,
Scott?
Roger.
Interesting one, folks. I hope you think so too. Let me know in comments or get in touch with me. The value for me isn't that it's answering any question here, but it does show the questions being asked by a trained observer, an astronaut on board that craft, saying, I'm looking at something here. It's keeping up speed with us. Actually, it's moving faster. It looks like snowflakes. You know, they're not sure. Bear in mind, they can see a star. They think it's Arcturus in the distance. Yeah, really interesting stuff. I would love to see more from NASA. We're getting something, but is it going to be enough? Are we going to get more of this as it goes along? I just don't know. What's your thoughts on that one? And on this, Eric Burleson commented to say he felt one particular file that dropped, and there were far less files this time, folks, in amongst this than last time, was the most interesting. And I'm going to read this to you now. Bear with me. It's 2 pages long. No voices or accents on this one, folks, okay? But let me read this out. Eric Burleson said this is the most interesting thing amongst the whole drop. So, in late 2025, during early evening daylight hours, I, a senior US intelligence officer, along with a colleague and two pilots, departed our Joint Operations Center, JOC, in a helicopter. Our mission was to investigate loud thuds being heard in the mountains on the test range, which coincided with unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP sightings, reported over the previous several nights. We aimed to search remote mountain areas for possible debris or objects that might explain the orb-like sightings. After leaving the JOC, we flew a low-altitude map of the Earth route through the mountain range for several hours. Multiple times we spotted debris on the ground and descended for closer inspection. Each time we determined it was remnants from rockets and other projectiles that had crashed during years of weapons testing on the range. As we continued searching near areas of reported orb activity, we discovered a large cave entrance with no visible end in sight. The terrain around the entrance offered no safe landing spot, so I instructed the pilot to orbit it several times for observation. We noted the location and then pressed on. Running low on fuel, we headed to a prearranged rendezvous point to meet a ground team and let my colleague disembark. Two pilots and I then proceeded to a pre-positioned tanker on the range for refueling. Our plan was to return to base afterward, but the JOC radioed with a request to search a nearby mountain for debris spotted by one of the ground teams. By this time, the sun had set, and the pilots switched to forward-looking infrared, FLIR, and night vision goggles, NVG, while I continued using the unaided naked eye. And for a brief search of the mountain, after a brief search of the mountain yielded no findings, the pilots began navigating back to the JOC to end the mission. I then received a message from the JOC. Radar had detected hits several miles uprange from our position, the same area where UAP activity had been observed on prior nights. I relayed this to the pilots and we altered course to intercept. What followed was a series of close UAP encounters lasting over 1 hour. En route, ground teams reported spotting a UAP on FLIR, describing it as super hot, low to the ground and moving east then south at high speed. The object then split into two and changed direction. Upon arrival, we scanned the area using night vision goggles, FLIR and the naked eye. The ground team suddenly radioed that the object had risen from the ground, approached within 10 feet of the helicopter, dropped below us, then sped away. The pilots observed it through night vision goggles and saw it split into two as a smaller object emerged before it accelerated out of sight. We briefly pursued but broke off, unable to match its speed. At one point, the JOC informed us that several fighter jets had launched on a training mission in our operating area and requested their assistance in identifying the UAP. This is now the second and final page. Minutes later, the JOC directed us to nearby radar stations. We took up a hovering position at approximately 700 feet above ground level. In the distance, we saw countless orange orbs swarming in all directions against the backdrop of the mountain. The display lasted several minutes before fading. The JOC then redirected us to our previous position based on fresh radar hits. I provided coordinates to the pilots and we moved to intercept, hovering again at 700 feet above ground level. Through night vision goggles, the pilots and I, using the naked eye, observed two large orbs flare up side by side close to the helicopter, stationary and just above the rotor disc to our right. They were oval-shaped, orange, with a white or yellow centre and emitting light in all directions. After a few seconds, a third orb flared up below the pair. followed by a fourth below that, forming a total of four or five in a T formation under the original two. Moments later, they dimmed in reverse order, remaining stationary until they vanished from view. The entire event lasted 10 to 15 seconds. I didn't take photos as I was focused on assessing what it was and whether it posed a threat. After this encounter, the pilots briefly considered landing due to the object's proximity, but opted to remain hovering 700 feet above ground level for further observation. We then spotted the fighter jets entering visual range at about 2,300 feet above ground level, identifiable by their blinking navigation lights. As watched from afar, the same type of orbs appeared directly above the fighters. They flared up one at a time in a horizontal formation, matching the jet's speed and flight path. After 10 to 15 seconds, they dimmed sequentially and disappeared. This repeated several times as the jet transitioned the airspace, or transited the airspace, and eventually landed. I remarked to the pilots that it seemed the orbs, the same orbs we had encountered, were now chasing the fighters. We also observed orange orbs flaring up and down around us for several minutes, forming a distinct triangle before vanishing. Low on fuel, the pilots decided to return to the JOC, JOC. After landing, I briefly spoke with them, mostly to express thanks. We were virtually speechless after these observations. I then entered the JOC for a quick debrief before driving home. So, interesting. Eric Burleson says, folks, like I said, that's the most interesting file or record in this drop. Orbs, multiple orbs being seen during routine operational flights, a cave, which is pretty interesting. They don't really go back to mention that. This is the kind of stuff, this was pretty recent as well, and I've got a little note here somewhere. I believe this was just in the last couple of years. I think it was 2025 that document is from, which is pretty interesting, pretty recent, and it's good to see that we're still getting new reports of stuff like that. And I'd love to hear that kind of personnel come forward and share that story in an official setting. So yeah, expectations were being managed, folks, like I say, by David Grush, Eric Burleson, Tim Burchett, other members of Congress. David Grush did say he feels in the next 90 days there will be significant progress or movement in the UFO topic. So we're still looking at a 60-65 day period to come after those comments a few weeks ago. And he said it wasn't these videos that he was talking about. It wasn't this drop, but something else, other things that he is privy to and working on. So yeah, really, really interesting for me. I've got a couple of news clips I'll play back to back of Eric Burleson and Tim Burchett just making some comments on the drop. And I think it's fair to say Eric Burleson particularly is taking a skeptical but approach, but sticking to the facts on this, and that is important given the number of eyes on this topic right now, and I would urge all of you to stay the same. Here's a couple of clips from Eric Burleson and Tim Burchett on the news.
One lawmaker who has long called for UAP transparency isn't starstruck by the releases.
The stuff they're dropping right now is just, I mean, this is the deep state classic. You know, they won't show y'all some of the stuff that we've seen. They're going to show stuff that is easily identifiable.
What do you expect to see on the next drop?
So there's a lot of videos that we had received word from insiders. We had a list of video files. We sent those to the Department of War requesting access to be able to be briefed on those. We have been briefed. Representative Luna, myself, and Burchett and others sat in a room and watched 52 videos. And it was some of these videos that have not been made public yet. Some of them are pretty, very interesting. I don't want to get people's hopes up. There's a lot of videos, and I think that the way that the administration is going about this is the right way. But just keep in mind, a lot of these videos have not been explained. But as you watch some of them, you'll see that some of them are clearly balloons or birds. But there's also some things in there that are very interesting.
So early online reaction seems more positive, I think, than the first drop, given the videos seem at least a bit better. The videos, of course, driving that reaction. I'm not seeing a whole lot of commentary on the documents or the audio files necessarily. Some people are excited, other folks remain slightly underwhelmed. Some are ready looking at, you know, the data that's missing, the context. The files seem more limited this time in terms of those actual written documents, at least at first glance. One report is about metals or materials being collected that may, that needs more time to be gone through. That was a more substantial report. It doesn't give away a lot of excruciating detail. The Orange Orb report is likely to become a main talking point over the coming days. I've seen a few US news items pick up on that too, just because of the intelligence officer being involved. What comes next? And this is where I think, and if you've heard me on a few shows recently, drop three for me, release 3.0. whenever we get that. It was 2 weeks apart, so maybe around about disclosure day release about then, which is due the 12th of June. That will show for me a lot of where this is going to go. Can Congress, can the task force and the caucus push to get better video, better documents, and perhaps some more photographic evidence released of bodies, of HD, of 4K? I'm not getting my hopes up for that. But I think that's what we need to be looking for here, folks. The releases need to build to something bigger. If we keep getting laws of diminishing returns or similar blurry videos and dots in the sky, people will massively lose interest. I don't think the mainstream reaction to this has been as big as the first. Perhaps over the weekend and early into next week, that will change. I'm not sure. Do we even get a third release? Does something happen in the meantime? I know the folks in charge of this, Luna, Burchett, Burleson, Grush, working in the background, are confident of progress happening. But we've got two releases. I think the third will be where we see what the pattern is to this. What do you think? Is release three going to be the most important of this for me? I think so. So the question is this disclosure? I don't think this is disclosure in the Hollywood sense at this. There's no single dramatic moment, file, video, picture just yet. No statement that outright says. I still think if you look at all of this and what David Grush said in front of Congress, Grush's statements were more powerful, given what he said, the gravitas behind it and the reach it had. But it feels like we may be knocking on the door. I just don't know if someone's going to answer that door to give us what we're looking for. It's not the disclosure that people perhaps imagined, but it's the disclosure of something. Is it a distraction of Epstein? Is it more than that? Is it a distraction from Epstein, but gives us proof of NHI? Perhaps, you know, I don't know, but we'll see. I want to finish off, folks, with some listener thoughts on this, and I'll answer some of the questions around it too. Thank you to everyone who sent stuff in, or if you've commented, it really makes a huge difference, especially on platforms like Patreon and YouTube. Please leave likes and thumbs up. But again, sorry to keep banging on about that, but you have to play the algorithms, folks, and I really appreciate it. So Gnosis said over on the Discord, and I think this is a really good point to make, I'm just really skeptical of the whole orb phase we are going through. Think about all of the credible people who have come forward in recent times. Borland, Brown, Nusitelli. They all talk about large triangular, hexagonal or rectangular craft, not small balls or irregular bloody objects. These videos feel like flooding the space and busy work. It feels like we're looking at all the stuff that the Immaculate Constellation algorithm already knows to ignore. And I think that's a totally fair point that Gnosis has made there, that this focus on orbs is going back the way. It's looking at points of light and dots, which are very difficult to really make heads or tail of. It might be something interesting, but without the data to go with it, we just don't know. Recently in one of my interviews, I spoke to, not Kevin Knuth, it was Matthew Shgadis, and he said he would just love for once to see a video taken from multiple angles. And that's a great point. Of these 50 videos, it would have been great if one of the videos was taken from five different angles, because you could then get a lot more idea of depth, speed, you know, all that kind of stuff, direction changes. That could have been really interesting, and people can build 3D models from that kind of stuff too. That would have been good, and we still don't have that. So even a drop with one video from multiple angles could be really interesting. So yeah, I'm with you on that. Tyler said, the video of the orb or disc going in and out of the clouds is the best one in my opinion. I didn't initially catch the other small orbs around. Any way to tell if those are real or are they just video or sensor artifacts? I've not particularly noticed that. For me, it is just the disc that is the main highlight in that video, Tyler. And I think that happens quite often in these videos where there may be artifacts or items round about that people think are something interesting, but actually it's just a consequence of the camera and the environment. I wouldn't know, and I'd love for other people to kind of to tell me on that one. Voodoo said, well, this didn't disappoint. Hopefully the next drop has some 4K gun camera footage. I'm with you on that, Voodoo. David Ungar says, great work jumping on this so fast, Andy. There's a couple of interesting clips, but it's still kind of meh, as the kids would say. I think the kids would call it mid these days, David, as I'm told by my 10-year-old. But yeah, I get what you mean. There's some interesting stuff. I think as the days go on, we'll get more analysis, we'll get more stuff debunked, we'll get more questions coming up, and I'm here for that, folks. The instant acceleration one was probably the wow one for me. That's from Joe, and I think that is the same for a lot of people, Joe. Bang, just move to the left, off to the right, fascinating speed. Again, could turn out totally prosaic, but at a glance, that is one of the good ones, if not the best. Mark said, I would say the second release is just a narrow upgrade compared to the previous files. They are still taking the public for fools. We want to see high resolution photos and videos and files relating to crash retrieval programs. 100%, Mark. It's a level up. It feels right now that we're still in second gear, and I mean low second gear in a car that's maybe got 6 or 7 gears to go, folks. I think that kind of stuff is gear 3 or 4, potentially. And I just don't know if I've still got a ways to move through to get to that point, Mark, at this point anyway. But, you know, things can move quickly. Team Rick said, we live in an era where expertise is under scrutiny, sometimes deservedly, but yet I or we need someone to tell us what we're looking at. I know that helicopters and conventional aircraft do not move in the ways captured in these videos. Are any of these potentially drones, i.e. the craft moving up and down, forwards, backwards and hovering, or breakthrough tech, reverse engineered? Clearly, I'm not an expert in these domains, and what I see, what I can see doesn't mean I'm seeing it correctly. Fascinating. Thanks, Andy. Rick, I'm 100% with you on that. It would be really easy for me, and I've said before, I would really make a lot more money and get more clicks doing this if I sat and lied about all these videos being something incredible and I broke them down with a big thumbnail of my face with a shocked face going, oh my God, UFO shot down. But it's not what I feel. It's not honest. And I think you're right. There is going to be a lot of these videos which are, even the one I find interesting of the orb moving fast over terrain, or the sphere, that could just be some kind of really cool Chinese drone they've got. I don't know. We don't know. Doesn't mean it's not interesting, but it's probably, in that case, then not NHI. I think some of these objects will be birds that are potentially flapping of wings. There are objects going round vessels and boats out at sea that could be large seagulls. Sorry to sound Mick West, it could be, but we don't know. Others clearly move far too fast and are likely some kind of technology. I think in amongst this drop of 50, we have drones, birds, balloons, misidentifications, US tech, foreign technology. But I do think we have a small percentage of things. If you listen to the latest Weaponized, Dylan Borland was at the McMinnville UFO Festival being interviewed by Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. And Dylan Borland gets asked by an audience member, what percentage of objects does he think are our technology to something else, to something NHI? And he said 90% ours, 10% something else. And in that 90%, he counts US tech, covert technology, foreign adversarial, misidentifications, balloons, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think that's completely unfair. I put a poll up on the Discord asking folks, did they find this release what they expected? Was it surprisingly good? Was it disappointing, or were they unsure? And things came out pretty even, to be honest, across it, folks. It was 30%, 20%, 34%, and, you know, so it was all pretty even across the board. So I think, again, it's been a mixed reaction, but pretty much as expected. This is trending online. This is popular. This is getting eyes and ears on the topic. So whatever you think, please let me know. I think there is more news to come in the coming days and weeks. Disclosure Day, again, is, I'm really excited to see that movie. It is just around the corner on the 12th of June. It's released 10th of June, I think, for advanced preview screenings, folks. Really excited to see that and how the public react to it in amongst all of this going on with these UFO files dropping. I would just encourage you, if you're online or you've got people asking you about it, make sure they focus on the interesting stuff. Fill them in on what's happened over the last couple of years. And please get in touch with me. Let me know your thoughts, feelings, any questions. This Monday night, there's a live UFO podcast crossover episode. I'm on with Pavel from Psychoactivo, live on YouTube, 7 p.m. UK, 11 p.m. Pacific, and that is 2 p.m. Eastern this Monday, the 25th of May. Both shows, it's a joint venture we're doing. We're going to be discussing all of this and more. So anything you want to hear answered, or perhaps even join us live on there. I've not done many live YouTubes for some time, so a little bit of support, if you're free, would be massively appreciated for that kind of stuff. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, for watching. Please remember to support me. Check out memberships. Check out the free trials on Patreon, on Apple. Sign up. Get ad-free, no sponsors. And it helps me keep the lights on and do this whole crazy thing full time when it seems there is a lot of stuff to get through at the moment. So as always, I will speak to you very, very soon.